Welcome everyone to another episode here at the Damage Report. Very glad that you're here because I very much have it right now. And what I have is a Big News Wednesday. What comes with Big News Wednesdays? Well, that's the dish. The side dish, J.R. Jackson joins us once again. How's it going, J.R.?
I was a little concerned this morning, John. I woke up and I was like, really a Big News Wednesday? Is it really big news though?
And that's a good question. I don't know. What do you think? Is it a Big News Wednesday?
It's big enough. That is the thing, because we can scour, we can find. I think it's pretty intriguing, and I think we're going to have a pretty good discussion because I'm either confused or completely disagree on something that appears to be pretty straightforward to everyone else. We'll see.
Whoa! I wonder. I assume you're talking about one of our stories in Meanwhile In, the video we're going to play. But anyway, interesting. I'm going to have to see what that is. Yeah, so look, I don't know if it's a big news day. Like if we were on some other show, we'd just tell you it is, but we want to be honest with you. Maybe it's not, but that's not to say that we don't have a combination of at least one big important story and then other stuff that will at the very least be fun, if nothing else. And then of course, we're going to be closing out the Wednesday show as we have been for the past few weeks with Meanwhile In, news from around the world. Interesting stuff that spans the gamut from really scary news to fun news that we can have a little bit of fun with. So definitely look forward to that. And for all of you, thank you for joining us, whether you're on the members app or you're watching on Facebook or Twitch or YouTube or wherever it is. Thank you for being here. Feel free to hit the like button, share the stream so that people know that we're live. And as we go through this news, you can talk to us via Twitch and Twitter and TikTok and all that stuff, and we will respond. Live. We don't actually do that live to TikTok, but we're on it. Did you know that? Search for the Damage Report. We're there. We're on Instagram. We're on all sorts of things. You don't know. But anyway, with that, JR, you want to jump into this thing and tackle this big story that might be the one you were alluding to? I don't know.
I didn't read anything.
Okay. Wonderful. It's like the old days at TYT. Anyway, I'm not going to name names, even though I want to. But anyway, okay, let's jump into this. President Joe Biden is receiving quite a bit of pushback and criticism following his decision to reinstitute what seems like a part of the Trump era immigration policy. And that has to do with the reopening of a tent facility to house up to 700 immigrant teenagers after they crossed the US-Mexico border unaccompanied by a parent, a sign of growing worries about how children are treated in government custody. And we're going to have like the pushback from activists and politicians and all of that, but want to give you the facts about what's happening. So US Health and Human Services said on Monday that the first teens arrived at Carrizo Springs in Texas, which was converted 2 years ago into a holding facility under former President Donald Trump. Now, government officials say that the camp is needed because facilities for migrant children have had to cut capacity by nearly half because of the coronavirus pandemic. At the same time, the number of unaccompanied children that are crossing the border has been inching up, with January reporting the highest total, more than 5,700 apprehensions for that month in recent years. A spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services said that putting children in permanent shelters is preferable to the influx shelters like Carrizo, but nearly half of those beds are unusable during the pandemic. As of Sunday, there were about 7,000 children in HHS custody, over 90% capacity under pandemic era requirements. That facility that's been opened is expected to close when the pandemic ends, although, as with everything else with the pandemic, I mean, God only knows, your guess is as good as mine when that's actually going to happen. So we have more information on this, but JR, what's your initial response?
First response is, let's see where this is going, how this is going, deep dive into how they're preparing and setting this up, how the children would be treated, and how soon they can get out. And what kind of at least close to permanent plan you can have, because every kid's situation is different. You know, some of these kids are unaccompanied, some aren't. Summing up somehow, whatever maybe other reasons, getting separated from their parents. And if the policy from the Trump administration of separating children is still in existence, that's going to be a problem. So all that needs to be fleshed out, because we're still in this transition period, because that already got delayed in the first place, just with officials being put in place. That was part of the problem with the delay in calling the election, not the real election, all that stuff. There's a lot of transition things that didn't happen or happened late or are still currently happening. Cabinet members still getting filled. So whatever way all those may affect, because I'm not a government official, may affect the way this goes. Let's see. But in the meantime, this has to be done as humanely and as organized as possible.
Yeah, and so, well, I mean, I guess the immediate question that a lot of people are saying is that what's happening? You know, and obviously we have to wait and we have to see. And we're gonna add all the, what we're gonna do is we're gonna reasonably launch into this and consider different elements. That's what we're going to do. But first I wanna give you, you had asked about some of the numbers about stay duration and stuff like that. So we do have a little bit of that. HHS said its goal is that children will remain at that facility for about 30 days, though they are coming from at least 2 weeks of quarantine at other Office of Refugee Resettlement facilities in the region. The average stay for children in custody across its facilities is currently 42 days. Back in 2020, migrant children spent an average of 102 days in federal government custody, which, and again, especially during a pandemic, is not where you want to be spending multiple months, because we know how the federal government has treated people in its various facilities during the pandemic. Now, again, part of the reason they're opening this up, they say, is that they have to keep capacity down at all of their other facilities, and that is to limit the spread of the pandemic. But that said, it's not just opening up tent facilities, it's reopening a particular tent facility that was only open under Trump for a little bit because of the public outcry about it. And so, like, it does feel like instantly, at the very least, and probably it isn't at the very least, a bad choice in terms of the optics to restart a facility that was one of the sites of the worst immigration related excesses of the Trump administration. And the only reason I'm even saying at least is because I do still assume that at the very least, the motivations at play will be different. I don't think that the Biden administration will be changing a bunch of regulations to try to artificially increase the number of kids so that they can have them there, so they can send a strong signal to immigrants in other countries or potential immigrants in other countries that we are going to destroy you and your family if you come here. But that said, motivations are important, but they're not the only thing. That isn't everything. Who are the people that are gonna be staffing this? Are they going to suddenly treat these kids better than they did under Trump for some reason? Are the physical abuse and harassment and sexual assaults going to go away just because Joe Biden's president instead of Donald Trump? Like, whatever trauma was caused by these facilities, why would that be different under Joe Biden if the facilities are the same, the organizations running them are the same, the employees at least hypothetically are the same? Like, we can extend some goodwill to Joe Biden, but there's a lot of areas where I don't see any reason to assume that goodwill has anything to do with it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. And this is the way I think politicians should approach situations. And they.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Okay, seems like we might be having, JR looked like he was about to disagree with me, so we cut his connection, but we're gonna send a text to him, and if he's willing to agree with me, we'll bring him back on. No, I don't know, we had some sort of internet problem. It's actually been quite a while since we've had a problem that's actually killed a connection, but we're gonna try to bring him back in as soon as we can. And look, I see comments, so for instance, John Biden is not Trump. No, and I totally get that. And again, I'm not saying this is exactly the same as what Trump was doing. I've already acknowledged multiple ways that it is at least an intent difference. But I am also, and this is something that I've been talking about for some time, I'm worried about people not caring about stuff like this nearly as much because it's not Trump. Partially because Biden will be better in terms of policy, but also because of the assumption that he'll be better. And that assumption is probably going to be accurate in a lot of different ways, but he's still a politician. And it's not like Democratic administrations have been awesome in terms of immigration pre-Trump. Why would we assume that they're suddenly going to become awesome after Trump? What, because they're worried about activists? Maybe that would be awesome if that sort of pressure actually did cause them to change from the sorts of approaches to immigration we had under Barack Obama or under Bill Clinton. That's certainly good if that's the case. But if people are expecting that they can go back to brunch, then that's not gonna be the case anyway. So I'm just saying, we will keep watch and see. We're gonna see as we get, you know, Ken Klippenstein is gonna get leaks from people working at this facility probably. We're gonna find out, are the kids staying as for as short a period of time as they say? If the number of kids that are crossing the border, it looks like we have JR back. Welcome back, JR. If the number of kids crossing the border suddenly balloons, does that suddenly change the situation? And they had been saying it was gonna be 42 days, but oh God, now because of circumstances, it's gotta be 100. These are the sorts of things that we need to be on watch for. And I don't want us to just pop back into the story in 6 months and find out that they lost a bunch more kids. And there's been a whole raft of sexual assaults and things like that. I want us to immediately send a signal to the Biden administration that we have no interest in going back to the policies of the Trump administration, that we're not cool with kids being traumatized and victimized and all of that. So that's why I think it's very important that we make clear what we think about this topic immediately to set the stage for the rest of the Biden term when it comes to immigration.
Where did you miss me? Where'd you lose me?
It was a bit ago. I don't know how long you thought you were talking. Well, I apologize, but what were you gonna say? Okay.
No, because there's an approach that has to be had when it comes to these kinds of controversial moves like this. And it's controversial because of the previous administration. First of all, did we get that part?
I didn't hear that initially, but
okay. So politicians don't like to do this because it could look bad and because there's always some kind of opposition. It doesn't matter what party you're from. But the approach has to be an honest approach where you say, listen, we understand we're opening this facility that has all these bad records and the track record with it is so deplorable because of what was done previously. So therefore, we're doing A, B, C, and D now instead of the rest of that stuff that they were doing. And we're replacing this person. The problem lies here. Let's change that. Look at the facilities now versus the way they were. If you're doing these things, if you're actually changing the atmosphere and the situation that these kids are put in, and really anyone that's fleeing a horrible situation in another country. So as long as you approach it with a, hey, we're doing this, we understand this is a problem because of what was happening before, and it's how we're fixing those problems. And this is gonna be a temporary solution because we don't want it like that. Our policy is different. If you just do it quietly and wait for a couple of news reports to say, or not that this is what happened here, but it happens a lot. A facility's reopened that was opened under the Trump administration, now under the Biden administration. It leaves anyone and everyone to say, why are they doing that? That sounds like the same policy. You have to let people get out in front of it and let people know this could be a bad thing. We're doing it right. You have to install some kind of confidence from the people that are watching what you're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. And like, obviously, and we're getting comments back about this. Obviously, we have different expectations, hopes, fears, suspicions for instance, Joe Biden than we would for Donald Trump. We do for every politician. But in terms of just like trust, the belief that Biden would never do anything wrong, like, I don't know, this is sort of a remote quote, but a great man in a movie once said, there's two people I trust, one's me and the other's not you. I don't trust Joe Biden. I have more hope for Joe Biden than I do for like Donald Trump. But like I was saying while you were gone, like look at Barack Obama on immigration. There were plenty of abuses. What was Hillary Clinton's record on immigration? Bill Clinton, like these are not people that just, oh no, they're definitely gonna do the right thing. We can probably check out on this. With that said, oh, by the way, you're getting a little bit of noise from your bike. I don't know if it's moving or something like that, but people are commenting on it. But I wanna move into some of the other people who've been talking about this. The initial reporting that a tent facility was being reopened after having been opened under President Trump, Joe Biden is now reopening it, has led to a lot of pushback from progressive activists and politicians. And we want to point out some of what they've been saying about this. One individual, Denise Bell of Amnesty International, says that detaining young immigrants who enter the country without an adult guardian in facilities like the recently reopened one cannot become status quo for children. Kids need a place to call home. That's why they should be with their friends, families, and community members. This is in the child's best interests. And to whatever extent that that is possible, they really need to switch to that. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says this is not okay, never has been okay, never will be okay, no matter the administration or party, which I think is a very reasonable stance. JR, what are your thoughts?
I'm trying to figure out why or what then we can do. And this is where installing confidence in folks will be a thing. So I get where AOC is coming from and Ilhan Omar and everyone else that has an issue with this process and using this facility. And I'm telling you, I scoured 5 or 6 articles and I was waiting for the second part of the pushback, which is therefore we should do this. Because I had a genuine, you know, a lot of times in political discussions, we have these conversations where we don't say what the next thing we think should be done is.
Yeah.
So what should be done now? So what's the alternative? So when you have 3,700 kids coming up, many unaccompanied, some are, some aren't. And then the alternative is, and they're still looking for their host families or their family that's here or whoever it is that they're supposed to meet up with or whatever plan was supposed to happen. Then in the meantime of putting all those links together, what do we do? There's humans here, right? Mm-hmm. So
well, look,
we can't treat it like a number and go, hey, these numbers are here and therefore put them in a great facility. Where? Which one? Are these built? Are they set up? Is the infrastructure there for them? What do we do in the meantime? They showed up yesterday, you know? So
well,
that's what I wonder what the answer
obviously
is.
Expediting the reunion with families as much as is humanly possible, regardless of the cost, would be a great move. But also making sure that there are protections against the specific types of abuses that we saw under Trump. And that's specifically about, you know, BPD and ICE officials harassing people, threatening them that if they don't comply with things all the way up to including sexual encounters, that they'll be deported, exposure to COVID or even pre-COVID to other infectious diseases, cramming people into small areas, not giving them soap, not giving them access to water, putting them in very small enclosed areas with lots of people. There's a lot even inside of just if they're gonna be here that we can make sure that they're not doing in theory. But I get what you're saying. They can't magically snap their fingers and conjure up facilities. But we also have to see what is the prioritization? How fast are they going to resolve the situation and all that? How much money are they going to put in? Are they going to be farming it out to private companies that are going to be charging exorbitant fees, which was a big problem with that particular facility back under Trump? They were charging something like $775 per day per kid, as if the kids were in some sort of luxury hotel when very much they were not. So you're 100% right. Those are just a few of the things off the top of my head that we should be focused on.
I'm seeing tweets about no more kids in cages. That's like, oh, they're caging kids again under Biden. This needs to be talked about. And then at least the presentation of this facility is not that. I don't know if they're lying because I'm not there, but the presentation of the facility is not the same as what we had seen previous to this, maybe at least for a specific facility. Maybe there's another one, they're still caging kids and having them sleep under foil, you know, like we saw those images up. So it's, again, it's a matter of whether or not they're doing it the right way and letting people know that they're doing it the right way. But on the flip side, just saying, back to kids in cages, what are you guys doing? We need to have a permanent solution. Yeah, permanent solutions don't come in 12 hours, they just don't. So in the meantime, people are still living and breathing for 12 hours. Those 12 hours, we haven't figured it out yet. That apparently we're expected to have this all figured out in. So what do we do in the meantime? I'm okay with criticism and pushback, especially from folks who know what they're talking about. After knowing what you're talking about, tell us the rest of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should do this. Yes, eliminate the private prison groups that are working with. Yes, eliminate the way ICE abuses and takes advantage of humans that are in a dire situation. Get rid of all that stuff, reform it. But then to say, as we're trying to reform it, it's the same thing. I don't, tell me why and then what we should do instead.
Well, here are a few more things. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in her continued tweet thread, said, "It's only 2 months into this administration and our fraught, unjust immigration system will not transform in that time. That's why bold reimagination is so important." And obviously she's saying, don't try to do this in 12 hours, but she's saying DHS shouldn't exist. Agencies should be reorganized. ICE gotta go. Ban for-profit detention, create climate refugee status and more. Those, and I'm sure she's got a lot more than she can throw onto those. And that's beyond just the status or current conditions of one facility, but there are a lot of broader things we can do that not only will help this current situation we're in, but make us ready for the next surge in people crossing the border. We're always so shocked when the numbers go up, as if it's never happened before. Who could have possibly seen it coming? That after the pandemic gets a little bit less bad, more people might start crossing. So, but your concerns are totally right, and it's a lot easier to just say this thing sucks than what we should do about it. I agree with you there.
And I'm sorry, my last thought is the difference is also during the Trump administration, they would explicitly say this policy is in place to separate children because we want to punish. It's a punitive thing. It's a deterrent. That was the plan from the beginning. That is the motivation behind your actions means a lot. So if there's still aspects of what you're trying to transition from available, get rid of it. Or if they're still active, get rid of those things. Mm-hmm. Tell people you're getting rid of it. Tell them why it's taking you a week to get rid of it instead of a day. You know, there's nothing wrong with transparency when it comes to something this important. I'm honestly with anything, gotta be honest. But just get out there. And then, so the anger at the Trump administration for doing what they were doing is because they told us they're out for nefarious reasons. It's the same idea. They were bold in talking about how horrible they're gonna be. Be bold in talking about how humane you're gonna be and how you're gonna make this an accommodating thing that's gonna actually work. Just talk, just get it out there. And for people who jump on it and say it's back to the same other thing, tell me why. Tell me that it's exactly the same first. And number two, tell me how we're gonna do it differently. That's all. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm repeating myself. I'm done.
That's okay. We're allowed to. We fill a lot of time. And we talk about the same topics quite often. We've talked about immigration many times. Sean Hannity is just complaining about everything Biden's doing these days, including spending money so that people get vaccinated and know about the process. He has a problem with that, among other things, as you'll see.
We'll have to see. Biden's interior nominee failed to report casino income on congressional ethics reports. So, but what are they really? This is all about spending. This is all about the new Green Deal. This is all about redistribution. And a lot of it now is you look at where the monies are going. This is the predicate. This is the beginning of the spending. You look at the items inside this federal minimum wage increase, animal. They're going to spend money, $300 million for animal COVID studies. Socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers, as we look at what's in there. Student loan outreach, probably forgiveness, money for the National Endowment for Arts, National Endowment for the Humanities. That's back. The Institute of Museum and Library Services, $200 million. Vaccine information. What does that mean, vaccine information? It's everywhere, the information. All you need to do is hit Google. It's free. You know what? Just tell everyone to Google it. Dr. Google will tell you anything you need. And you can go to the official CDC website. So we're going to have to watch all of this. Well, this is going to be a full-time job getting to the bottom of what this is, the transformation that we warned would happen.
you didn't just get to the bottom of anything. You listed spending items, which is fine. That's a part of your actual full-time job because you're supposed to be like on the news and stuff. That's not getting to the bottom of anything. That's literally getting to the top. That's what the top is. So anyway, JR, I got a lot of thoughts. What are your thoughts about Sean Hannity there?
You don't have to have any details. He said spending on vaccine information.
Dr. Google.
What are you supposed to, do you want information or not? So you want to Google instead than a YouTube video to talk about this rather than people actually researching and spending the money to use professionals, maybe people who know what they're talking about to do this. What was the other part? Animal studies. I can't believe we're doing animal studies on this. Well, a lot of people have animals. And also, I think they said it originated from an animal. I'm still confused on that. But
wait, JR, I mean, what does that have to do with anything? The fact that this disease, as well as affiliated other coronaviruses, jumped from non-human species to us. Why would you spend money on looking into animals? $300 million to potentially not have another pandemic? Yes, please. That sounds pretty good.
He said this is gonna be a full-time job getting to the bottom of all this. So this is Sean Hannity pointing out what the conservative, especially pundits, were doing during Obama years, which was anything. Let's find anything. We're gonna exhaust all of our energy and our money on just making sure we find anything. Animals, how could you? Ranchers, really? People in rural areas, vaccine information. And then they'll say these obvious things that make sense to look into and act like it's a crazy thing. But in the past 4 years, when their king was in office and he was doing everything indiscriminately and based off of nothing, the co-signers were just there. No questions asked. Oh, hydroxychloroquine. Great. Hey, bleach. Awesome. Hey, he didn't really say that. He was joking. At first I backed him up. Then he said he's joking. Now I can say he's joking. No, you just follow the leaders, all they've been doing the past 4 years. And now it's time to go ahead and disparage anything else that's happened to make sure it's just a big political game. There's absolutely no principle. There's no policy. There's nothing that they actually want outside of complaining. Now, they may have said that about us, but behind any of the complaints that we had was based off of what they're doing and what they should do instead and how this is hurting people. If you find all these things are hurting people with this money they're spending on these several different things, point that out. Dig a little deeper, Sean. Get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, he said getting to the bottom. He didn't get to the middle of any of those. What did we talk about? Like for 5 seconds, why do you need to study animals having to do with COVID? Well, fairly obviously, because that's where it originated. And it's likely that future ones might come from there. That's not the bottom, by the way. I'm not saying that's the bottom, but that's something below the fondant, to make a reference to yesterday. Anyway, libraries and museums. Oh, these libs spending money on libraries and museums. What does that have to do with COVID aid? Well, it's a pandemic. People can't go to those, so they're probably economically hurting. So as part of our stimulus and aid, we're gonna try to sustain them as we have virtually every other kind of business in the country. All of this is so common sense that you can still disagree with it and say that it's not worth saving those things, but could you at least acknowledge that it's not randomly pumping money into a museum as if that's a bad thing? It has to do with the fact that people can't go. Vaccine information, just go to Dr. Google. Yes, people doing their own independent research on the internet's been working really well for America recently. But also, you just go to the official CDC website. No, but okay, sure, yes. But that's what these information campaigns tell people, because lots of people don't know that that's where they should go, to the official CDC website. And also, and again, like I've been saying for months, I've been saying they're gonna turn against the vaccine. And for all of them, it's not gonna be as explicit as like Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson, where they're very much against this. This is a form of turning against it. Like for months it was, don't worry about the deaths. Trump's gonna bring us the vaccine. Now, even spending money to tell people how to get information about it is a waste of money and is really suspicious all of a sudden. Let alone the animal studies, the farmers and ranchers. Like what? So now you have a problem with money being spent on farmers and ranchers? When have you ever held that position before?
Yeah.
But again, it's everything.
It lets you know previous arguments didn't mean much. Now there was times when they were talking about how, hey, we need to reopen everything because look at the mental toll that this is having on people at home. Depression, mental health issues, suicide, drug use, alcoholism, all that stuff that they listed, which obviously was happening, right? So if you're concerned about it, would you like to put something towards maybe doing something about it? You know, instead of just saying it. So again, I'm not sure the depth that they're going for the farmers and ranchers and whatever help they need. But if there's a proposal that's looking into help people with whatever mental health issues that they have at home, maybe based off of being isolated or maybe losing family members, which has happened to families and friends of over 500,000 people, then do you want money towards that? Because you were complaining about it before. But the reasons you were complaining about it before is because you just want to reopen things indiscriminately. Now, if you want to put money into figuring out the best way to help those people, are you backing that up? Because they don't actually ever want to help people. They just want to get people to question what's possibly happening with no more information, just so they can rise up based off of a lack of information rather than rising up based off of information. That's all that matters. The less information they have, the better off they are, because they can manipulate them better. Are you willing to help people or not? Because you got to put money towards helping people. That's definitely something these conservative pundits never want to do.
No, no. Just keep the government's hands off of the people who are already doing well, have always done well, and will always do well, as long as the government doesn't take their money effectively. And definitely don't spend money on anything, because that money is not going to principally help out the rich.
Well, it's supposed to be, exactly.
Well, we have a comment from a member, Aaron Parker, says, I'm so embarrassed that I used to listen to that dolt. Trump definitely pushed me left, and then I found TYT. Well, don't feel too bad about yourself. A lot of people, like, it's very slick and glossy. It's on TV. Seems credible, right? Not obviously, but they confuse you with high production values and stuff like that. And he gets everyone so emotional. They all do, including the person we're going to turn to next, who might make Sean Hannity look intellectually curious, intellectually honest, a guy that you could actually potentially work with in comparison to what we're about to see. Let's transition to that now. For the past couple of months, Tucker Carlson's show has effectively just been, don't worry about blank. White supremacists in the Capitol, that's not a thing, even though it's very much a thing. QAnon, why are people worried about this? I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying no one should ever doubt it whatsoever. That has been a common thread for literally weeks, leading up to what I hope is the peak of it, this video.
So it's worth finding out where the public is getting all this false information, this disinformation, as we'll call it. So we checked. We spent all day trying to locate the famous QAnon, which in the end we learned is not even a website. If it's out there, we could not find it. Then we checked Marjorie Taylor Greene's Twitter feed, because we have heard she traffics in disinformation, CNN told us, but nothing there.
Edwin, who I love, sent this to me, and I just thought, I hate my life and I hate Edwin for giving me this clip, because that, what are we supposed to do, JR? Guy's got a massive audience. He makes $1 billion. People trust everything he says. Us chuckleheads, they'll never trust like they do him. What was any of those words?
It was a confirmation for the BS that he's been pushing for years. It's just, you have to continue to feed the same thing. You know, like if you're holding people mentally hostage, you got to keep feeding them the stupid stuff so they can continue to keep thinking what you're thinking. So we searched for QAnon, couldn't find it there. I searched under the rug, no QAnon here. I went on the internet, where's QAnon? Oh, it's weird, but you somehow found Antifa on the internet. You somehow found Antifa being this organization that buses people out and puts them together in these spots to rise up against the government and kill police officers just to mess things up. That's what you found? Did you find that, or did you just say it? Oh, BLM, we talked to BLM. Who did you talk to from BLM? Hey, that random guy on the street in Los Angeles, you said, hey, BLM, there's a BLM leader right
there.
That's
the leader.
It's weird how you can find leaders for organizations that you want to disparage, but you cannot find the leaders for organizations when they walk out with signs and say, hey, Q. Or maybe there's this one woman who just got elected to Congress who continues, by the way, he said he searched her Twitter page for anything about Q. Search a little harder, or maybe read something else that talked about all of her Q connections.
Jer, it's even a little bit worse than that, because he said he looked and his team looked on her Twitter feed for disinformation of any kind and couldn't find it. I don't think you looked that hard. I think someone was like playing Minecraft or something when they were supposed to be working. So recently, this ties into two things we've been talking about recently. One is, what did I just say about Americans doing their own research on the internet and how that tends to work out? They couldn't find QAnon on Dr. Google. And then also, we've been saying, why does Tucker Carlson constantly ask these rhetorical questions that there are very much answers for when he has a massive production team? Now we know the answer, because they don't know what they're doing. They think, I want to take a live view of them doing research. Okay, gotta find QAnon. www.qanon.com. There's nothing. That's not how it works, you idiot. But of course, all of this is pointless, because he knows that. He knows it's not qanon.com. He's not even like Jerry, you were like, he's trying to find the leadership. He said he can't find anything. So Like there is a significant chunk of his population that was watching that clip that believes in QAnon and were like, yeah, Tucker, that's good. You couldn't find it. That's good. I believe it's totally true. They're eating faces, but that's good. And he knows that his fans believe in it, but it doesn't exist. It's nowhere. It's nothing. All the people with the Qs at the Capitol, it's totally made up, doesn't actually exist. All the different forums and accounts on Instagram and YouTube accounts making their long videos and all the conspiratorial stuff and the hundreds long Twitter or threads on like 4chan and 8chan looking into the breadcrumbs and all that. No, he searched for QAnon.net and didn't find it. So we're good. We're done. And he is one of the most followed people in media in the entire country, spinning a web of obvious lies that he doesn't believe.
It's not even really trying anymore. That's a pretty obvious clip right there. Anybody who was watching had to be like, oh, this is a, I would have given him not even a pass, but I would have understood it if this was posed as a, you know, I'm just going to have this sarcastic, snarky segment really fast to let my viewers laugh a little bit because this is not serious at all. That's what it sounds like. And you maybe have left going, well, they laughed at the end of this, right? I hope maybe I should go back and watch it. Maybe they laughed at the end of it. Maybe it was a joke because that's what definitely maybe what it sounded like. And John, I've blown the lid off of this whole thing. I just looked, I just searched, no, not searched, website, TrumpInsurrectionist.com. Oh. I didn't get anything, so therefore there was no Trump insurrectionist. There was no January 6th. In fact, January skipped from January 5th straight to January 7th. There was no such thing as January 6th because TrumpInsurrectionist.com didn't come up with anything. I searched high and low. I checked everywhere. Can't find it. It doesn't exist. Did you know that? This is a hard one.
JR.
Oh man.
I just searched for January6th.com. And it's a very weird. I'm actually clicking on it.
Don't do it, bro.
It's not about politics at all. Oh my God, we're breaking news, everyone. No, this is just such BS and he knows it and we know it and you know it. And it feels so pointless and yet he is so influential. So like, what are we supposed to do? It's just all so fake. His show is just, like, it's there were groups that attacked the Capitol trying to murder politicians and his only coverage of it for more than a month after, a month and a half is, oh, don't listen to the FBI and the Capitol Police when they tell you about the links to the different militia groups and the hate groups and the neo-Nazi groups or the over 200 people that have been arrested with known links to these organizations. None of that's true. Like, it is exactly the same thing on a different scale as if after 9/11, you just did 2 months of, no, it had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, had nothing to do with bin Laden. Like, if a major news show that was their only approach to an attack against our country was saying it didn't happen. None of the people they say was involved were involved. And yet he's been doing that and it's barely a topic. This guy who gets millions of viewers, who is not just has his show on Fox, which would be bad enough considering its viewership, but Fox is giving more and more of the control over their programming to him in particular and tens of millions of Americans watch that programming. This is a serious thing. It's not serious. It's laughable, but it's serious beyond that.
That's the MO. That's the way it works. As you said, he eliminates everything. There's no such thing. You mentioned this. There's no such thing as white supremacy. There's no such thing as QAnon. He said that a few times. There's just no such thing as anything that actually makes us look like exactly who we are. If it's a bad thing, it doesn't exist. It sounds like a 6-year-old's argument when he gets caught. Hey, Jimmy, I see you sneaking in the cookies. There's no cookies. What cookies, Mom? As crumbs fall off his face. This is what we're working. This is the disagreements we have. Except little Jimmy has a nightly show on cable news and has millions of people watching him. That's the only difference. And everyone's listening to him going, well, Jimmy said there's no cookies.
Yeah, Keltec says maybe they should have searched for the internet hacker known as 4chan. We couldn't find him. I just searched frozenwindmills.com. Nothing. Nothing. I've blown this whole thing wide open.
It's so,
but
it doesn't have to make sense.
Chuckleheads on YouTube. We're not serious. That's serious. Tucker Carlson's serious. We're not serious. Oh my God, look at that footage. Well, you can probably tell from that footage, we're talking about gender reveal parties because they are the absolute worst. Even when they succeed without killing someone, but unfortunately all too often, it does result in injury or death when people do this thing that I hope is just an American thing. But a man who was expecting his first child was tragically killed on Sunday, and his brother was injured when a device they were preparing for a gender reveal party exploded in a garage in the Catskills in New York. What set off the explosion remained under investigation, a spokesperson for the state police said. The device consisted of some kind of pipe that was intended to be used at a gender reveal party, but the nature of its explosive material was not yet known. The oldest of the brothers said that it was the freakiest of freak accidents that I could ever imagine, that we didn't know what had set off the explosion. But look, it's obviously a tragedy losing anyone. I imagine that what set off the explosion was explosives, because I imagine it was designed to explode. Maybe not a full explosion, but something was intended to come out of the pipe or something as a part of this gender reveal party. And so this, it would be bad enough if this death and injury were the only thing. Those are obvious terrible tragedies. And imagine it's on the cusp of your first child being born, a celebratory time for a family to end up losing someone as a result of it. But explosive devices used at gender reveal parties have also been linked to at least two deaths other than this since 2019 and two major wildfires. Yep. The parties are a popular way for couples to announce news about their pregnancies on Facebook and Instagram. And you have this, a celebratory cannon salute at a baby shower ends in death because it's a cannon. A gender reveal party started a 10,000 acre fire. An explosion at another gender reveal party kills a woman. Authorities identify a firefighter who died battling a blaze sparked by a gender reveal party. These are just random headlines related to this that our producers found. It's more than likely others, and others that didn't end up being national news. All of this just traced back to this bizarre, totally unnecessary tradition. JR,
I don't understand it, man. Number one, as you just listed, four or five other news articles that headlined events like this happening, from wildfires to deaths. I don't know if these folks, the latest, didn't hear about this. I heard about it. I haven't had a gender reveal party. My kid's 9 years old. I don't know what it is that makes people not see what's been happening and then not do it. Like, I know, I'll do it, right? But these guys have backgrounds in bomb making. Suddenly everybody can make a bomb? Everybody searching on the internet? Is there an influx of Google searches about how to create a bomb? Because that's all these are. And why is a bomb an appropriate way to celebrate the gender of your child? Why? Who told you that? I hate trends where some random person, some influencer, I don't even know if it's even an influencer, or maybe it's some kind of like lifestyle guru, decides to tell people what they can do and it's a trendy thing to do, and suddenly everybody's doing it. Why do we listen to them? Who are the first person that said, hey, here's a good idea for your gender reveal party, make a bomb. And everybody went, that's a good idea, let's make a bomb. Hey, when you got married and when you announced your engagement, did you say, hey, me and my wife are gonna get together, we put a bullet in this revolver and we spun it around and we shot it at our heads, because that's a fun way to celebrate weddings. Yeah. It's so, why is a dangerous situation the appropriate way to go about announcing something that's supposed to be so joyous?
You know why? Because it's likely to go viral. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about your friends finding out. This is about because you saw others go viral. And that's what it would. Maybe it's one person who's like, hey, it's a fun thing you can do. Or maybe it's they saw it on Instagram or on TikTok. And when I say they, I mean any of the people who do this, including the ones, by the way, who do it without anyone dying, where a guy will just shoot a rocket launcher at something and it'll blow up with blue or pink smoke or whatever. And thankfully he didn't die, but others do. They see it and it's like, who came up with the like woman on Instagram reaching back and holding her boyfriend's hand? I don't know, but a lot of people do it, so a lot of other people do it. Now, thankfully with that, few people die, so I prefer that one. Although plenty of people have died hanging off of things for viral photos, the desire to make a spectacle and for it to go broad, as if what strangers think about your child's genitals matter in any way, is deadly, unfortunately. It's not necessary. And by the way, having a gender reveal party at all seems weird, but let's say you have to. If what you want is something impressive looking, and let's say you want it to be an explosion, we already have fireworks. Those exist. Why are you building your own pipe bomb when colored fireworks exist already? You could set those off. Now, yes, people get injured, but fewer people die as a result of it than you wanting to, like, I don't know, shoot blue gravel out of your own homemade cannon. I just don't get any part of it.
And you know, and the thing is, I'd seem mad, and I kind of am, because sometimes I respond to tragic situations like this with, like, just avoid it. And maybe it comes off badly, but I'm sad for the whole family. This kid has to be born, and then I'm not sure if the story's ever going to be told to them. Yeah, so your dad isn't here because we did this bomb to reveal that you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
And by the that's sad, man.
It's, oh God, it's a lifelong tragedy. Yeah, and as people are saying, you don't know the gender when a child is born, you know the biological sex. I totally get what you're saying. Someone said the only good gender reveal thing they saw was when someone had made a cake for it and they cut it and opened it up and it said gender is a social construct, which is pretty good. Nobody, like, here's what you do when you have a baby. You take a picture, you put it on Instagram. And I got news for you. Even with that, few people will care because it's your baby, which is fine. That's gonna be true of my baby too, because it's not their baby. And most people don't care about other people's babies. But definitely it's not worth risking your life, killing the mom, killing the dad, killing people over this. Absolutely insane. We already do baby showers.
Yeah.
You do the first birthday.
If you're there's the brother of this guy. Sorry to interrupt you, John, three times. There's the brother of this guy. There's family members. There's people at a gender reveal party. So I would assume there's more than four people there. If you've been invited to a gender reveal party and you think and you get the indication they're gonna light something on fire, hey, just nudge them and say that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Remember those 25 other news stories where people died? Hey, let's just not do it, you guys. Just and please do maybe try your part. Maybe they won't listen to you because you're just a friend of the family, or maybe you're just a nephew or something. But be like, hey, Uncle Jimmy, let's not do that. That's a bomb. You know, you put pipes in there. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just so needless. It's time for news from around the world. In the meanwhile, in meanwhile, in Qatar, the most tragic of news, as they're gearing up for the World Cup, literally thousands of migrant workers have died to modernize their infrastructure, build facilities, and all of that. Data from India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Sri Lanka revealed that there were 5,927 deaths of migrant workers just from 2011 to 2020. Separately, data from Pakistan's embassy in Qatar reported a further 824 deaths between 2010 and 2020. And the mention of the World Cup is important because in the past 10 years, Qatar has embarked on an unprecedented building program, largely in preparation for the football tournament in 2022. In addition to 7 new stadiums, dozens of major projects have been completed or underway, including a new airport, roads, public transport systems, hotels, and a new city, a whole new city, which will host the World Cup final. There have been just 37 deaths among workers directly linked to construction of World Cup stadiums, of which 34 classified as non-work related by the event's organizing committee. So how does this work? Well, we have a couple of examples. Gal Singh Rai from Nepal paid nearly £1,000 in recruitment fees for his job as a cleaner in a camp for workers building the Education City World Cup stadium. Within a week of arriving, he killed himself. Another worker from Bangladesh was electrocuted in his accommodations after exposed electricity cables came into contact with water.
Jesus.
Each of those is a tragedy, and each of those is such a tiny bit of the total problem. Thousands upon thousands of workers dying, and largely their response seems to be, they don't really investigate, nothing is done, more people die. But they're flying people in or shipping people in to do it. So I guess it seems kind of acceptable by comparison if it results in a World Cup that's pretty impressive, I guess.
Yeah, it's such an illustration. I mean, there's supposed to be this extravagant event, worldwide event. the world comes in and it's invited. It has to be a nice place to do it. Facilities have to be prepared, have to be all in place. Yet before all that, we didn't care about whether or not a new city was built in this country, whether or not there was transit systems, whether or not there was roads, whether or not there was enough facilities to house people, all this stuff. And I don't know the breakdown of other cities there, but the fact that they had to do all this for this tournament just shows what you maybe could do if you cared enough to do it. So I mean, we're coming from our bubble of America where we're like, well, it's just work. How come so many accidents happen? There's probably lots of things that go wrong, things that are overlooked, maybe protocols that are supposed to be put in place to make sure there's safety. All those things have to be checked out. And if you're rushing to get this done, I don't know, rushing is the right word. What, this all started in 2011?
Over a decade, yeah.
So I mean, but that's still a rush. If you're adding a new whole damn new city, you're rushing to get all this done, you're gonna cut corners. And again, you bring in the people that are the least influential, least powerful, most desperate because of the way that people get shoved aside across the world, you know, as just being the lower ends of society. They're there to work. You get electrocuted to death, you fall off some kind of high rise, something kills you in some random way. We're the World Cup, bro. Nobody's gonna worry about those deaths. And that's an indictment of the entire world, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of the facilities aren't gonna end up being used afterward. Like, that's the story of so many different Olympics, that they build up. And I get it. It's, you know, it's the international eye is on your country and you're showing that you can do this impressive thing. But all this money went to that rather than to other things that might have been much more beneficial for the people actually living in your country. It ends up just like, go to Greece, see their facilities. Like, I'm not saying that it should only go to places where they already have the facilities. Like, you know, LA is gonna have the Olympics again. It's already done it in the past. Obviously, other countries need to have the possibility of it, but maybe we should dial back our expectations for how grandiose the facility should be if it results in a decade of people dying and money being put into it that don't need to.
Hey, so I'm sorry, one last thing on this. If everyone should look at this, there's a site or there was a page you can find easily, but it's abandoned Olympic sites across the world.
Yeah.
And it shows pictures of what these places look like after they've been built up and used extravagantly, and then there's no other use for them. It's like ghost towns and zombie areas. You can film movies in these areas and make it a scary movie every time.
Exactly.
So this is what happens in a lot of these places. Not everyone, but in a lot of these places. Look that up and look at how devastating that is and how much money we put to it and now death we put towards it.
Exactly. Meanwhile, in freshwater ecosystems, the first time we've used that one, a disaster is brewing. A new report says that populations of migratory fish have fallen by 3/4 in the last 50 years. Over the same time period, populations of larger species known as megafish have crashed by 94%. And as of right now, 1/3 of all freshwater fish across the face of the earth now face extinction. In fact, they've identified 80 species that have already gone extinct. 16 whole species of freshwater fish went extinct just in 2020 alone. And so how does this work in practice? So in the UK, for instance, the sturgeon and the burbot have vanished. Salmon are disappearing and the European eel remains critically endangered. So that's in the UK, but this is a problem the world over. It's being driven by the poor state of rivers, mostly as a result of pollution, dams and sewage. And why is this a problem? Well, I think fairly obvious a problem for a lot of reasons, these species as well. So we're focusing on freshwater fish now, but we've talked about animal species broadly, bees, all of this. They all seem to be doing really poorly. Maybe it's something we should look into, but this in particular is a problem because, for instance, about 200 million people across Asia, Africa and South America rely on freshwater fishers for their main source of protein. And about 1/3 of those people also rely on them for their jobs and livelihoods. And so as those species are devastated and go extinct, you potentially have literally hundreds of millions of people who are gonna lose access to one of the main sources of their protein intake. That is a devastation waiting for us in the near future. I think we lost your mic input.
No, anyway, yeah. There, so this is a climate change issue. I mean, have we tracked back to where this is happening directly?
So climate is definitely a component of it, but also pollution, rivers being stopped up for dams. There's a number of different things that are part of this. Climate is certainly one of them.
And I'm sure this isn't the first time this has been pointed out. Have we ignored it to the point now where it's one in every three fish is now in this issue?
He's under threat of extinction, yes.
I don't have much faith that this is going to change, that anything's going to switch off this. If you can see this happening, and it's not the first time I'm sure anyone's reported this type of phenomenon, they can go, oh, one in three, that means two out of three are still around. Good job. I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of minds will work.
That might be, actually.
I don't really need a whatever random fish that they've never heard of. I don't need that. It's okay. It's just the way we think, and it's why we're here already. Reversing people's mindsets on how our ecosystem and everything works and what's needed is an impossibility. Sorry.
Maybe, or at least it's certainly a fight. You know, people who.
It's worth having. Like, I don't mean to be that negative.
No, it's worth having the conversation. Well, let's see. Let's see how many people watch a video on YouTube that's talking about freshwater fish to give you an idea of people's concern about it. But then also people who do care about this are considered kooks in some way, or about animals broadly. Like we did that. We did a story a year or two ago about the fall of different insect species. And I think a lot of people respond sort of like you said, like, oh, good, I don't like insects. No, but it's important. And when we're losing 80 or 90% of a lot of these different species, that is devastating. We have a lot of issues that we have to deal with, but the earth is being stripped of its life at an unprecedented rate. Something to look into. Meanwhile, in Karachi, in Pakistan, they have this new armed rollerblading unit that's been deployed by their police to curb theft and harassment on the city's teeming streets. This is an interesting story, no matter what, but we've got video. Let's go to it. Okay, so yeah, I don't know if you could tell, but JR was having some fun with that. And I think it's safe to say that that video, which has gone viral around the world, has resulted in not a positive reaction towards the move. A lot of people seem to think it's kind of funny. JR, are you one of those people? Do you think this is some kind of joke?
I think this is very serious. It's a great innovative,
I mean, he jumped a motorcycle. I can't do that on my rollerblade.
Kinda. I mean, it was like the legs kind of went side. You gotta jump it, bro. Give me some air. Get up.
What do you, want to do a front flip on rollerblades? He got over it.
Two things. I watched a lot of fail videos, and my brain could not wait for someone to fall badly. It's just how I am. I'm a child. I never left 16 years old when it comes to watching things like that. So. Hey, any failed videos of cops on rollerblades, send them. But number two, if you're trying to get away from them and they're drunk, this is the part I was expecting something to go wrong. I was like, somebody's gonna.
Oh, it looks like it would. Yeah.
That would. No, damn it. Anyway, okay. So here, you have a crew of cops on rollerblades, and they can move kind of quickly. You're not getting away. That's scary. It's like, stop there. You're like, I can't outrun these guys. They got wheels. This is unfair. So I get that idea. And maybe it's a cheap way to go. You know, we already have cops on bikes and stuff like that, but they're not drawing guns as they do it. So there's an extra layer.
Yeah. Biggest issue is I do not want a cop on rollerblades shooting a gun. That seems like a really bad, or like tripping with the gun and saying, that's not a good call. By the way, before we get back to the fun, let's just briefly mention. These are still police officers, and you'll be shocked to find out that there is police brutality in Karachi in Pakistan. So
John,
it's fun and games with it, but let's bear in mind these are still cops and they've tortured people and murdered people needlessly and stuff like that. But anyway, back to the fun. I don't hate it. I don't think it's as ridiculous as everyone says. It looks a bit silly when you put the music and they're like weaving out. It gives me like vibes of there was some movie where they were doing that. I don't remember what it wasn't Dodgeball, but it was something like that. So don't do that. But it sort of makes sense for catching up with people. Like there's a lot of people on motorcycles, but I will say on the road, sure, you're going to be a lot faster than people. That's pretty good. But it seems like a problem where it's like pursuing suspect. Uh-oh, he's gone 10 feet into the forest. Calling off pursuit. Or like he's in a bit of light sand. We lost him.
So that's officer down. I'm attempting to chase him into the sand. Okay, that's ridiculous. Oh, it's so awesome. By the way, anyone who's a former roller derby champion or former street hockey player can sign up immediately. If you get a team of actual guys who can skate like street hockey guys can, oh, that's a devastating team of cops because that's you're not escaping. They're good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, these I don't know if we could do this on Twitch, but like, because we only have a few minutes, but can we do a poll? Are you pro or con the roller cop? Because I get that, like, yeah, I think that's actually correct. Everybody thinks this is ridiculous. I think, is it more or less ridiculous than a cop on a horse? Honestly, I mean, outside of True Lies, which that was awesome, but I don't know. I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, JR, thank you as always for being on the show. Really appreciate it. It didn't turn out to be necessarily a big news Wednesday, but it was a good news Wednesday.
I think it was pretty good. We had some fun, even though you tried to ruin my mood with talking about the police brutality in Karachi still. So yeah. I'm trying. Now I'm leaving with a little bit of a bitter taste. Thank you, Lib. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you as always. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.